We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday, March 20th. Here to talk Miami Heat. We're going to let some people get in, then introduce ourselves, myself and my co-host, Brian. Brian, bad news to start the morning. Bam Adebayo is on the injury report after Miami. It looked like they couldn't sustain yet another blow to their health and perhaps the biggest one of them all. What a somber start to the day when Miami has to play Cleveland this evening.
Yeah, so it looks like Bam is going to be questionable for tonight's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers with some sort of lower back tightness. It's almost a similar injury to what Duncan Robinson just experienced in his last game against the Pistons. So we'll see what happens in regards to if he'll play tonight's game or not. I don't believe Duncan is going to be playing tonight. I think he's already out, as well as I think Jimmy Butler is actually questionable, so there's a chance that he could play. Same with Tyler Hero, actually. Tyler's on. He's out. Who's the other guy that's actually questionable? There's like so many guys around the injury report. It's hard to keep track on these days.
really, most of Miami's team is some sort of...
Well, their entire guard room is taking a hit, and now you're taking a hit on the front court with Bam potentially being out. It's hard to replace all these guys. I know they brought up Cole Swider from the G League to potentially play tonight because... they're really thin right now. I mean, they're playing Patty Mills heavy minutes in 2024.
The year of our Lord. Listen, then, and it kind of, you know, the Patty signing starts to make sense for them.
Absolutely.
That, you know, they probably didn't feel so confident about Tyler's health or Richardson's health, really, because I believe after they signed Patty, you know, the news kind of broke that Josh was going to be out for the season. So if you're the Heat front office, all of a sudden some of their moves start to make sense. And Brian, I think we should introduce ourselves. Hi, my name is Giancarlo Navas. This is my co-founder and co-host here, Brian Goins. We are both the co-founders of Miami Heat Beat, a Miami Heat podcast, and we are here on Bleacher Report to talk Miami Heat. And Brian, there's a lot to get into today as we kind of opened with the Bam kind of injury bad news. You mentioned Duncan Robinson going to see a back specialist. Came back to Miami to go see a back specialist after he left the game against the Sixers early. Obviously, a huge blow to them as he has been one of their best players this season. Honestly, a candidate, Brian, for most improved player. Let's talk a little bit about kind of the loss of Duncan Robinson for Miami going forward, if indeed he's going to miss extended time. Because let's not forget that in the dog days of this season, he has been one of the bright spots as a shooter, as a ball handler, as a playmaker. It is absolutely incredible what he has added to his game.
I mean, absolutely. He's taking strides every year, it seems like, since he had that breakout season his second year in the league. He did have that one sort of slump shooting-wise, but, I mean, we've seen some progressions in his game, you know, besides the three-point shot that he has. I mean, he's taken more of a leap in terms of finishing at the paint. You know, the dribble handoff thing has kind of, you know, morphed into new ways that Miami can generate buckets, you know, with the two-man game between Bam. And obviously right now, Miami is struggling to score, especially with Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler both being out. And if you're taking out Duncan as well, we just saw this last game, They didn't have Duncan the second half for most of the second half of the Sixers game, and they barely struggled to score 100 points. They didn't even get to 100. They got to like 90. I think they ended with like 94.
Yeah.
But I mean, their defense was fine. So I think defensively, they're fine with Duncan in the starting lineup. They just really need his you know, impact on the offensive end. They don't really have a replacement right now for him because obviously Max Strus is no longer with the team. And then now Tyler Herro is going to be out for additional, 1 to 2 weeks, trying to get his foot, you know, healed up in time to hopefully maybe play a couple of games before the playoffs. It's looking kind of bleak in that backcourt. That's why they're playing Patty Mills. I'm not even sure who they would start tonight. I guess probably DeLon Wright would have to start at some point.
Spo has kind of been reluctant to play DeLon after they signed him. And I think Heat fans kind of want to see more of him because I think he provides that defensive first mentality that I think the Heat and Eric Spoelstra teams are known for. But Brian, you're right. I mean, what Duncan Robinson's provided them has not, it's not even something that a guy like Max Strus can reproduce. They've become such different players because Duncan is giving you so much more than shooting off movement, coming off screens. He's just legitimately running pick and roll for you. And especially when you're missing Tyler, I think he has slid really nicely into, okay, I'm going to be one of the ball handlers of this team. You know, Jimmy's obviously going to get it when it counts the most. Rozier's going to have the ball in critical moments as our point guard and as our kind of big season acquisition. But Duncan has really kind of filled that role nicely of like third, secondary at times, you know, ball handler. There was a game. I forgot who they played. It might've been Washington it was Phoenix that they had to deal with a press. And Duncan Robinson was put in the game to help beat the press. Like, that's insane development from him. Shout out to all the work he's done.
Or his double-double game where he had like 10 assists.
Yeah, man. Just the playmaking has just been absolutely sensational from him and all that stuff. So hopefully he can get well soon because I know that the Heat really, really miss his production. He's been one of Miami's best players all season, and they're going to really need him. I want to give a quick shout-out to chat. We got people in chat talking.
We can get some of chat on screen right now, actually.
It's a little invasive, but, you know, they're there. It's covering your face, but we love the audience here, the community at Bleacher Report. You guys have been so kind to us every time we do a show.
We have a Sixers fan in chat saying he definitely doesn't want to play the Heat in the postseason.
And I think that's fair, Brian, and that kind of helps us transition into, like, what the topic of today's podcast is are the Heat pretenders or are they contenders? Because I think the Heat exists in this weird kind of space in the NBA where – I think everyone's done doubting them. I've talked to a lot of people in the NBA, a lot of people around the NBA, and they say, listen, do I watch the Heat and do I come away impressed? Absolutely not. Am I going to pick against them again? No way. I've learned my lesson. And I've talked to a lot of people about this thing because they're like, why are you? Because I've been kind of a little bit down on this team, Brian, this year. I'm not as high as other people were earlier in the season. So, you know, we've taken our lumps, you know, on our show, Miami Heatbeat, but I've not been the most gung-ho about them. And people keep asking me, like, why, you know, I'm just not going to count them out. They look like this every regular season, Brian. And we're kind of coming to a juncture in the season where we got to know who they are, you know, sooner rather than later, because I don't know if they can survive another playoff run where they're the eighth seed and they got to play Boston in round one. Even if the Celtic fans and the Celtics want no part of Miami that early, then they're going to have to deal with some team like the Sixers. If Embiid gets healthy and they make it to the second round, they're going to have to deal with Milwaukee. If they fall into that kind of 2-3 spot, you know, Cleveland, who's played really well, it's going to be like, they have a lot of obstacles going their way, Brian. And I just think that they might not be built for such a deep run. Now, with Jimmy, anything's possible with the level that he gives them in the playoffs, and we can get into kind of what they do specifically. But I think the wear and tear of these years have been a lot for them, and they just can't stay healthy.
I mean, he's dealing with a foot injury right now. We don't even know the extent of that foot injury. But, I mean, if it's anything like Tyler Herro's, it can't be good. So we can only hope for the best right now that they get back in time so that they can at least get some reps before the playoffs. Plus, they need them probably for the play-in tournament at this point, because that seems like the likeliest scenario for them, that they'll have to play their way into the playoffs like they did last season. And as we saw, they barely even made it to the playoffs because they needed a late run just to beat the Chicago Bulls, and they got destroyed by the Atlanta Hawks.
Thank you, Max Strus.
In the play-in tournament. So, yeah, it's... they're probably going to haven't played those same two teams if they finish as a 7 or 8. So it's kind of hilarious that we're going to basically be going through the same exact script as we went through last season. I'm hoping that they finish as a 6 seed so that we don't have to deal with that. But, let's just say, hey, they're either going to be playing against the 1 or 2 seed between the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. Or even if the Cleveland Cavaliers end up jumping back up to the 2 seed. Obviously, they're kind of banged up right now. If you're Miami, because I feel like every time we play them, we always have our best offensive games. Somehow we muster like 15 to 20 threes against them. We always like
Brian,
sort of 3-point record.
I'm not going to lie. If I'm the Heat and if I'm a Heat fan, I probably want them in 7 or 6
yes.
more than I want them in 4 or 5. For sure, 8 is...
Well, if you're 4 or 5, do you think you could... Because right now, Orlando's, I think the 4 or 5 seed, I can't remember where they're at right now, but they're in that range.
I'm looking ahead, Brian. And we have Troppy Baby in chat saying the Heat will look like a good offensive team against the Bucks. Totally agree.
Absolutely.
They just shred Milwaukee's drop. They're under Doc, it might be a little different. They play a little bit different, but for the most part, the scheme's relatively similar. But if I'm Miami, dude, I want to avoid Boston as long as I can. And if I can get a matchup against Milwaukee, I think if I'm the Heat, I'm comfortable with that. Obviously, you'd rather play Orlando in round one and just get to round two and figure it out. But then you play Boston in round two. You could save Boston till the end. And maybe your aggregate path is harder, but I think you give yourself a better chance to go deeper. Obviously, the Heat and the organization are like, we don't care who gets put in front of us. We are gonna beat whoever we have to play.
Well, I kind of disagree with that. You know why? Because Fo had been talking earlier in the season about seeding. Like, that's the first time he's ever really talked about that in pressers. Throughout the regular season, he's actually like taken a closer look at where they finished seeding wise, because they don't want to go through the same path they went through last season. It was not easy for him. It was an arduous path.
It aged them, bro. It
absolutely. And I mean, ideally, if they had an easier path, they probably would have been maybe a little bit healthier entering that Denver Nuggets series. I mean, the Nuggets had like 2 weeks off before they got a chance to play Miami. Miami had like 3 days off before they had to travel to Denver and acclimate with, just the entire change in altitude and stuff like that. So, like, personally, I feel like if Miami were to make another finals run, they can't be a 7 or 8 seed. I think they have to be at least a 6 seed so that they can at least get like a matchup with Cleveland, which I think they still match up pretty well against them. All their matchups this season, I know they've beaten them at least once or twice. And I think one of the other games, they blew like a 20-point lead that they had with them at one point. And obviously they end up losing, but just my opinion, I feel like that's one of the teams in that side of the East where I feel comfortable playing against them. Same as Orlando, Miami's beating them 2 of the last 3 times they play them. So those are teams you want to play. I feel fine against New York as well, but I would prefer to play New York in the second round, because I just feel like if you play against New York, we might be going through the same stuff we dealt with Josh Hart last season, where he's undercutting guys' ankles and you're dealing with injuries here and there that we can't deal with anymore.
Well, New York's a very physical team.
Absolutely.
I think tip teams are physical, and I think you want to kind of, physical teams in the playoffs are going to, you're going to leave with some bumps and some bruises. I think New York is, a team.
I'm sure they're still sour from the playoff elimination that we dealt.
I actually don't mind playing the Knicks. I know that a lot.
I would love to play them still, because I feel like that'd be a fun matchup.
I'd rather play them than I'd rather play a healthy Sixers team. I'd rather play them than I'd rather play a Buck team. Or out of like the quote,
yeah, unquote, if we're ranking them, yeah.
I think probably Cleveland is the other team that I'd be like pretty okay playing if I'm Miami. And I think that, like, I think the East has like Milwaukee and Boston are like the two, like, okay, these are contending teams. And then there's teams like Miami that I think have like more playoff equity than every team above them. I think even more than Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
In a weird way. They might have a little bit more playoff equity than Milwaukee, but they have to show you, and I think they have to earn it. And they're just gonna have the hardest path. And Brian, I also don't think that they're gonna sneak up on anybody again.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I think that Milwaukee was taken a little bit.
Do you think that's what happened last season? You
think I think it's a part of it. Listen. I think they got fortunate with the Giannis injury. I know Giannis came back and they won both those games, which credit to them. And you know, they played amazing and they were kicking Milwaukee's ass in game one, you know, before the injury happened. And Miami was also missing Hero. And we could debate whether that was, you know, kind of made sense for their rotation or not. But at the end of the day, they lost one of their most important scorers and one of their high minute players. And they get New York in round two, which I just think is they were just better than New York. I think even in the regular season, you look at those two teams and you're just like, I'll probably take Miami.
A different New York team too. This New York team obviously has more pieces.
And they won
last season.
They won in six, Brian, and Jimmy missed time. You know what I mean? So that's a quicker series if he doesn't get hurt. I truly believe that. And then you get Boston in the last round. So they have, you know, they've proven to you that they can do it. They've proven to everybody. They have that playoff cachet that other teams don't have. They've made the finals twice. They've made the conference finals, three times in the last 4 years?
Three times in the last 4 years and two finals in the last 4 years.
And two finals in the last 4 years.
But the one time that they went to the playoffs and didn't get that far, they got swept.
They got swept in a season where they had a shortened season following the NBA bubble. Yeah. And they looked cooked and it was a COVID season. And I don't know. That season's a little bit hard to take a lot if you're the Heat. They just looked absolutely cooked by the end. And listen, credit to Milwaukee, absolutely outmatched them that series. But, you know, you have to look at it from the Heat's perspective as well, where they're like, well, we had the shortest offseason in the history of the NBA. We had to go from playing really intense games in the finals, physical game where Bam and Goran got hurt, then to just turn it around. And then they had a lot of injuries that year. They had a lot of COVID. So yeah. Look into this season. Let's talk some matchups that we would be kind of comfortable seeing. Obviously, you know, Orlando would be the ideal first round opponent, you know, because they're not going to get, you know, they're obviously not going to be able to play one of the 7-8, you know, seeds or whatever. So out of the top five, you know, I think Orlando is at the top of that. And Brian, I think sneakily Cleveland is number two. Ironically, the team they played at night.
They play them two times, I think, in the next week. So we get a better chance to see how they do. I mean, obviously, they're not going to have all their main guys playing right now. They have a Mobley still out. Donovan Mitchell's going to be out for a week with a nasal fracture surgery he just had over the last day or two. Just taking a look at the standings, right above them is actually Indiana Pacers. They're a half a game above Miami. Miami's currently the A seed right now. So, and just to see what it would take for Miami to get up to the 4-5 seed, because Orlando's currently the 5 seed, but they're half a game out of the 4. So if you're asking Miami to jump up to get in that sort of range to play against the Magic, right now they're 3.5 games behind. I feel like with the amount of games that are left in the season, I don't know if they have enough games left to be able to catch up against Orlando. I mean, Orlando has the easiest schedule remaining in the East. So you're basically asking maybe the Knicks to go on sort of a losing streak, and they've already won 4 straight games. They got Jalen Brunson back. I don't know if Julius Randle has come back from just yet. I know OG Anunoby is going to be taking a couple more games off with his also absence. But I mean, they got some guys that, you know, they're playing well even with their injuries. You know, the same with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are also 2 games ahead of the Knicks. So you're asking for one of these teams above Orlando to maybe drop down if you want to play them. And I don't know how likely that is. So I feel like the most if Miami were to move up any higher, it probably is going to be the 6th seed, but they lost against the Sixers and they no longer have that tiebreaker that they had. So that also impedes them in their, you know, their path to get out of the play-in tournament. So look, they need to win games. They can't just play against the Detroit Pistons every night and expect to just play against those level of teams and climb up the standings. They need to start beating some of these other Eastern Conference teams that are on their schedule, you know, starting with Cleveland tonight. But I mean, their schedule right now, it's not as bad as it was earlier in the season, especially not as bad as that West Coast trip they were just on where they won that 4-game losing streak. But they still need to start racking up some wins against
Lesser opponents. They have 14 games to go, and the schedule's not too bad. They play Cleveland, New Orleans, Cleveland. That's probably the toughest stretch. Then they play the Warriors, who are, you know, they've been playing a little bit better, but they're still not, you know, they're not the Warriors that we think of. Then you get the Blazers, the Wizards, the Knicks, the Sixers, presumably still without Embiid, the Rockets, Indiana, which is a huge game for them in the standings, Atlanta, Dallas at home.
Well, the Sixers, Indiana, are just a bit
Toronto, games, yeah. And Toronto, who likely might not be playing for anything.
Yeah.
You know, at the end, well, they're 12.
Toronto's trying to, well, I don't know how likely it is at this point, but they're trying to keep their first round pick, because right now it's going to be the Spurs' pick. If they finish within like the top 7 worst teams, they don't get to keep their pick. And I think they're like just above that, or like 8th right now.
So they want to win some games.
Well, they want to lose more games so they can try to keep their pick.
They want to lose some games so that their pick protections kick in. So
they might potentially be benching guys, is what I'm saying, at the end of the season.
It's not the worst schedule. You have a couple games, like I think the New Orleans at home, that's coming this Friday. Mm-hmm. If you're a Heat fan, make sure to get there early. It is Ultra weekend, so plan accordingly for that. Ultra and spring break.
That's going to be a fun game.
This should be on a road trip right now, man. That's crazy.
The whole kerfuffle that they went through not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, that might be an interesting matchup to see how they play against them. I just don't know how healthy that team's going to be playing against them. Like, we might even see Jimmy Butler in that game. So that
we
might
have
be
no
a
real clarity on this foot contusion.
No,
and
not
how
at all.
Long. Yeah, it's like, it's really tough if you're the Heat. Like, what are you supposed to do?
I have no clue. And that's like part of the reason with how this Heat team has been so inconsistent. It's the same thing that they dealt with last season. You know, they're dealing with this adversity with, like, they don't know what their rotation is going to be like on a day-to-day basis. I'm sure they're not really practicing as much as they probably would like, just because they're trying to, you know, get these guys
preserve bodies.
So it's like, to me, I feel like it's the same situation that Spo had to deal with last season. I know they didn't really go too in detail with like some of the outside stuff that they were also dealing with, because I know like Kyle Lowry is also out for personal reasons. I mean, Jimmy was also out for personal reasons this season with a death in his family. We haven't really known a lot too much about how that's really impacted him. I know he's had a couple of good games, but he's also missed a lot of time. So like, look, we don't know exactly where his head's at still. Like, we imagine he's going to be good for the playoffs, but we don't really know. So I think that's all playing a part into Miami's inconsistencies this season. And at this point, if they can just get to the playoffs, would I pick them to be favorites over a lot of these teams? Probably not. but I won't count them out. And I think that's what every national media guy has been saying, from the guys like Bill Simmons to the Low Post to guys like Nekias Duncan. Shout out to you. I just think like Miami will have, you know, a puncher's chance. Will they even make it past the first round? I don't know. Really depends on the matchup.
I think that like the things they have going for them are obviously Jimmy, but particularly what Jimmy's able to do in playoff matchups, where he's able to kind of manipulate the floor to kind of bend the will of the defense to get him a small guy or a favorable matchup for him. That's like one of the things to me that is like really critical about, like, you know, when they match up against Boston or when he's healthy, or like New York, or kind of these teams with small targetable guards that, you know, you can, okay, you like Jimmy in a one-on-one matchup, you force a switch, you get downhill, you know, you kick out your shooters. Obviously they're going to have to shoot the ball well from three. It's really difficult to survive in their offense without the kind of corner guy, because the way that kind of Miami sets up on defense, they run a lot of empty corner sets where they vacate the corner in pick and roll or any kind of handoff action, and then they either relocate to the corner or they try to force help from that corner after the relocation.
Yeah.
So if you're the Heat, you really, really kind of, you know, bigger teams are tougher for them. You know, bigger teams that switch are tougher, which is why I think like Boston this year is going to be kind of particularly prickly for them. They have a lot of size on the wing and at big, and I think teams are just putting a lot of size on Butler. They're kind of pinching in. They're helping a lot on his drive.
We saw him destroy Jrue Holiday. So like, am I totally like scared of like the perimeter defense he might encounter? No, but I am scared of like the double teams, because we know he hasn't really played well when he's felt, you know, two on him. You know, the Knicks did that in the second round when he played him against the playoffs last season. Obviously, Miami was still able to win, but he didn't have as an impactful scoring.
And he was hurt too. I think that's a part of it. You know,
but, I mean, that is like the script that some teams have been trying to play with Jimmy. We just saw the latest Dallas Mavericks game. They performed that. I feel like they always do it every time we played on that. Like, that's like the
it's late help, Brian. I think that's like the really interesting aspect of it, is that they send help after Butler makes his move. Yes. Right. So like, you know, Miami will double early, right? Mm-hmm. To get the ball out of a guy's hand. So like Tatum, for example, in the playoffs last season, they doubled him early in the shot clock, early in the offense, get the ball out of his hands and make somebody else make a play. Dallas and other teams, what they're doing is like after Jimmy makes his initial basketball move, that's when they send the second guy to help, because they don't trust Miami shooters to hurt them. Because if not, that's an easy, you know, that's the pass of the kick and you get an open shot. Their shooters aren't good enough, and they're making those passes really difficult for Butler, whether it's pinning him baseline or making him turn away from kind of his dominant hand. Those are the kinds of things that have kind of bothered him. And I think that that's going to be like in the playbook for some of these teams. I don't know if Boston will do that, because, you know, that's not really Missoula's MO, but I could absolutely see Thibodeau.
It's not Milwaukee's either.
Yeah, it's not Milwaukee's either, but like I could see the Knicks doing that. I could see Doc doing some of that. And I think Doc, when he was a coach of the Sixers, did some interesting stuff against Jimmy by putting Embiid on him, which that was kind of a very interesting matchup that Miami quite never solved. Yeah. And when Embiid played in the playoffs, they didn't run it. But in the regular season, we saw some of that. Dallas has put Maxi Kleber on Jimmy, and that's had a lot of success. And
I don't understand how Maxi Kleber does that to Jimmy so much.
I just think the size. And I think teams that have a big that's mobile enough that they can get away with kind of, okay, well, we're just going to put the size. We're going to bother him. We're going to play off of him a little bit. We're going to be able to close out on the jump shot. We just can't give him that angle. And I think more important than anything, Brian, he can't overpower those guys. Because I think where he's his most successful is when he's just like strong, like big mans you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can't do that to those bigger guys.
He did it to Grant Williams a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. But Grant's not like that size guy. You know what I mean? Grant's kind of like, you know, it's kind of 6'6 to 6'8. He can deal with that. I'll wait on him, but it's, you know, the other stuff. So that's what I'm worried about with Jimmy kind of, and how teams can defend him.
Yeah. I'm curious what you feel like about their defense, because, I mean, we're talking more about their offense, but defensively, how do you feel they stack up on the other end of the floor with some of these Eastern Conference teams? So, especially with, like, a team like the Boston Celtics, you know, they're scoring at a really historic pace right now. I feel like we say this every year. do you think there's any chance that, you know, with their defensive schemes that they're running right now, especially they're doing a lot of, like, these 2-3 zones still, trying to preserve some of the legs that they have on the team, because right now they're running like 7-8 man rotations. Do you feel like that is going to be successful in the playoffs like they were the last few seasons?
So their defense kind of goes a couple ways. So one of the things that they've done this season, if they've run more drop coverage instead of their traditional, well, supposed traditional switch coverage,
yeah,
where they switch on pick and rolls. Now they're dropping the big to kind of contain the ball handler. It's been pretty good. You know, it started off rough. It's gotten up to the point that it's top 10 defensively again. I don't like it for the playoffs because I think that you allow teams to get too many pull-ups. And I think in a playoff game, and I think when your offense needs oxygen, I think a pull-up, when you give a team a pull-up, that is life. That is a lifeline. You allow them to have a little bit of water on. And I think if you're the Heat, the switching is so suffocating that you know, I like to use the analogy, shut the water off. They are a team that was capable of shutting the water off. They haven't run those coverages this year. And I know you asked about zone, but I feel like we have to start with the drop versus the switch. They haven't run a ton of switching this year. When they have, it hasn't looked great, probably because they're out of practice and there's a lot of new players and there's a lack of communication. I don't know how the playoffs are going to look and their defensive scheme, but I do think that when rubber hits the road, they're going to have to go like the smaller lineups with Jimmy, Bam, Caleb as your front court with Duncan and then probably Rozier or something like that. You know, yeah, kind of that or Jaime, or like some mismatch of those six guys are going to close big games and they're going to have to be small and they're going to have to switch a lot against Boston's, against those other teams. They're going to have to send doubles and helps off bigs and post-ups and all that. The zone, I think, is effective. And I think they showed you last year in the playoffs, they can do it. I think Boston has done a really good job of kind of attacking it. I don't know how much success they'll have against it. I think Boston has put Tatum in the middle of the zone. And they have Derek White, or now even Jrue Holiday.
Been successful against the Bucks the last few times they play them.
I think Milwaukee, it's good because I also think Milwaukee is kind of lacking in depth and shooting, and it kind of just kind of forces Giannis out of plays. I think it works against Denver a lot, which is kind of counterintuitive because Denver's so good against zone, but they're able to kind of muck up and sink and make the game really slow,
yeah,
which I think is kind of to their advantage against a lot of teams. So I think defensively they're good, not great, and I think they don't – I want to see – these new guys be able to run the switching that they used to, because I really think that the way that they were able to advance so deep in all these playoff runs have been obviously off the excellence of Jimmy Butler, but by playing a defense that is absolutely suffocating. And I don't know if they,
oh yeah, but you had guys like Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent picking up full court, you know, in the playoffs.
And listen, you don't have Kyle Lowry anymore, who made a lot of smart veteran plays. Now Rozier's going to have to step up, who's a much better offensive player. You know, is he going to be able to kind of make plays like Kyle did, you know, in that Buck game, he got a big steal, took a lot of big charges. Like those little things swing games. So they have some questions. I think, Brian, they also play like, they're going to have to play a lot of like Hero, Rozier plus Kevin Love or Hero or
I'm Duncan. Assuming even Hero is going to be available
Or Duncan, Rozier and Love. They're going to have to play like 2 to 3 Ant defenders a lot at one time. Yeah. And that worries me a little bit because last year they were
closing with Strus and Gabe a lot.
And when Max is your worst defender, when Max Strus is like the weakest link, you have a really good defense. Cause he's not a cone. He competes. He's like a pretty average to slightly above average defender. And Gabe Vincent, we knew he was a dog. So you replace those guys with Duncan Robinson, who's competed but not at that high level, and Terry Rozier, who's also competed but just not at that level. And now
maybe Jaime Jaquez might be in that closing.
Jaime, has this kind of like struggles defensively. So to your question, I think that they have that top echelon level in them. Can they reach it running what they run and with their personnel? That is what they're going to have to prove to us this postseason.
Yep. Assuming that a lot of these guys are going to be available for postseason too. So when I have much of a choice to even like mix around these different coverages, I don't know how much, because at that point, like if you're playing with, you know, a lot of hurt guys, and especially if you're like you're Bam, like you're going to be asked to score more than you are right now. Because I just don't imagine that Jimmy's going to go on 35-point tears every single night. Like, you're going to have a second guy. The second guy, ideally, should be Hero. But if he's not available, then it's probably going to be Rozier. But also, I feel like Bam's going to be required to do a little bit more. And I feel like he's been trying to do that already this season. Like, we've been seeing him mix around a little bit more of his jump shot. He's stretching it out to the three-point line over his last four games, which is kind of curious to see if that's going to hold up, you know, through into the postseason, if teams would even respect his jump shot that far. I mean, they're not really respecting it too much right now in the mid-range anyway, so probably not. but I just want to see more variations in their offense than they've been running right now. I feel like what you're saying with the empty corner sets, those are things that I think are in Spo's playbook that he just doesn't really like unleashing now until the playoffs. And I feel like that's part of the reason of their postseason success, both defensively and offensively. I feel like they do say things until the real games count. And I think in a way it kind of limits the amount of film that's out there on them, especially with this current like group of guys. Like they don't, most teams are not going to know, or their, at least their tendencies with this group. Right. So we'll see if that matters or not. It might not, it might be a detriment to Miami because they don't have the same amount of, running time with this current group to practice those things in real game settings. So we'll see.
We're going to have to see what it is, but you know, that's they have a lot of questions that they have to answer. And it's kind of funny that a team that made the finals that has so much playoff success has to answer all these questions. And I think that they're a little bit unique because, you know, like for example, I think Milwaukee has fewer questions that they need answered, you know, than Miami. Miami is a team that I think recently has had more playoff success. Well, Milwaukee and Milwaukee's, I guess, won a title and that obviously changes it. But how many teams, Brian, make the finals twice and reach the conference finals another three times, you know, within a 4-year span, get questioned like this? And it's because their regular seasons never match up with their postseasons. They never look great. And it's just, they have a lot of injuries. They don't have a lot of guys that are built for 82 games. And they have the slog of a season. They have a lot of injuries. I mean, Butler's hurt again, as we talked about at the top of the show. Bam. Duncan Robinson, who's an Ironman, who set almost, I think he set a Heat record for most consecutive played games, is out at one point.
He played the most consecutive games of any player in the NBA.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, these are guys that are not, you know, I get, you know, Jimmy's an older guy who's taking care of himself. Bam was a very durable. Bam was another guy who didn't miss games, who's now missing times with either shoulder or back or wrist.
He had the wrist surgery at one point.
Yeah. Yep. So, Brian,
he's dealing with the hip now and now the back. Yeah.
And Rozier got hurt almost on arrival. You know, Tyler Hero is another guy who unfortunately has suffered quite a few injuries, especially kind of late in the season. It's a lot to think of. It's looking dicey, but we have 14 games to go in this beautiful NBA season with a lot of basketball to be played. And there is a lot of playoff basketball to be played. And you know that this team is going to come out ready and they're going to come out swinging. Brian Goins, thank you so much for joining me today here on Bleacher Report. I want to thank Bleacher Report for giving us the time on their platform to talk Heat with you guys. I want to thank everybody in chat, all the audience. And Heat Cavs tonight. Make sure to check us out at MIA Heat Beat on Twitter for our Miami Heat Beat podcast. We do live streams. We do podcasts. We do articles on our website, heatbeatmiami.com. So check out all of our offerings. We will be live tonight following Heat Cavs. And we hope that you guys enjoy this day and this rest of this NBA season. Brian, thank you again for doing this with me, bud.
Thanks.
Peace.
Peace.